The following is an emergency alert. A Category DS-106 storm is approaching your area. This warning is in effect until further notice. Expect heavy blogging, storytelling, and scattered social media. Please stand by for updates.
This is the DS-106 Good Spell, living and learning in a digital storytelling course known as DS-106. Based on a post written in 2013 by Mariana Funes titled DS-106 in 106 Bullets, which was posted at 1:06 a.m. when Mariana was staying up late at the end of a DS-106 course. My name is John Johnson, and on the other end of this Skype call is Mariana Funes. Good evening, Mariana.
Hello, John. Hi, good evening.
And
introduction times two.
Yeah, but nobody will know on the recording because I will delete the first recording, and I'll probably try and nip this bit out too. The topic for tonight is words, words, words. I love words, and I love them even more when they dance in kinetic typography. And I must say, I think I pronounced kinetic typography rather better this time than I did the last time. So there's a silver lining in every cloud. Kinetic typography, Mariana, is...
So I came across this. Another way in which people talk about this is just as motion typography. And really, it is animating words. So people do animation where they do mix visuals and another type of animation. But the main essence of it is using words, using different types, different fonts and movement in order to, in some way, mirror the meaning of a word, a set of words, into sort of the visual medium, and I was saying how I had not come across kinetic typography before the DS-106, and the way that bullet was written when I'd just come across it, it was a really exciting thing for me because I do love words because I write, and it's what I have done most of my life. And to see what people can produce with the idea of animating words, there are some just wonderfully creative things out there. Hopefully today we'll be able to sort of point some people in the direction of some of those. But then also the how do you create kinetic typography animations, and we talked before we started, even we were saying how it can be quite a technically quite difficult thing to do, but it's on my list to learn how to do well, and has been on my list how to do it well since we finished the Headless 13 DS-106 last year.
Yeah, so There was one example which has slipped my mind, which brought all this to the fore. Can you remember what it was? It's kind of hard to talk about something kinetic, if you know what I mean. Even though it's words, we can't make our I don't know if you can do kinetic on the radio. But
well, you do movement. We do movement with sound, don't we? You would use in sound. We use our kind of the tone of voice, the speed. What else would we do? We might do the sort of pitch of how we talk. We can show certain emotions in just the quality of our voice. Kinetic typography is kind of like that, isn't it? But using vision.
I suppose you could translate, for instance, a singer and the notes they sing to the height of the word or the size of the word or the volume as a size and the height and stuff. I suppose you could do something like that. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's a kind of synesthesia in a way, and that's another thing. But it is a kind of crossover of the senses, isn't it? Because what people do, when we think of it as being clever, what people do is they take the words, and the words might be talking about somebody being fat, and then you make the words very fat.
Mm.
Fat in terms of use a fat font, for example. It's that kind of crossover, yeah. that is done with it, and the creative thing about it.
So do you think I mean, the beginning maybe way is sort of the way movie credits and things are done, how they slide onto the screen and things.
That is it, isn't it? That is also because, of course, people do sometimes do a lot of kind of creative ways in which they do that, using the characters of a movie, using, you know, the yes, I guess that and that may, I don't know the history of it. You know, some, one of our many listeners might know.
Yeah. Who did the first kinetic?
Yeah. Yes, I don't know the history of it, to be honest. My first encounter with it was through a speech by Stephen Fry, which I saw made into a kinetic typography film, and I was just speechless, if that's appropriate. Not offended.
So we can maybe, if you've still got the link, we can maybe pop that in the show notes so people can see what we're talking about or watch the words float around and things.
The interesting thing about that, and I guess again, if we can, you know, pop the link for people, particularly when you put the stuff on EduTalk, because the interesting thing about that particular bit of typography is that it's black and white. It's nothing that you would say, you know, is very kind of, you know, jazzy and exaggerated. It literally is just words moving on the screen. I won't spoil it for people when they watch it, because what makes it wonderful is what happens at the end. And so I won't spoil it, but, you know, but in terms of the, there are, it's black and white, so there's no color. It's all fairly simple. The sort of design of it is very basic, and yet, you know, how it can be so powerful to just use words and animate them. It's actually really quite an interesting idea, I think.
So, what do you get out of this, rather, you know, as opposed to just reading Stephen Fry's words or listening to Stephen Fry on the radio, or what does?
You know, that's a very interesting question, isn't it? And the more I watch the films, the animated films with them, the more that, you know, I do wonder about just that, you know, where is the aesthetic? What is it that makes this, kinetic typography, art in some way? I think what it is, it's this crossover that we were talking about. You know, I think what it is that makes it special is that people would listen to or read just the words, and then they would think, you know, in how can I express the meaning of these words through, the visual channel, i.e., you know, through getting the words moving on the screen. And the way in which that is done does require you to kind of bridge from the auditory sense, from you understanding the words, to saying, well, you know, how do you create an animation that expresses the meaning of the words that you're showing? And I think there is a special gift about that, you know, like we were just saying, you know, it's not a simple example is to say, well, you know, the text is talking about, you know, me being fat, and then I use, you know, fat fonts to describe what it is that, you know, but that's a very kind of simplistic example for us to explain on the radio what, you know, what it is, but, you know, as and when people follow up on this, the examples, there is a great deal of complexity that you can do with that sensory crossover.
So Rochelle's just tweeted in that there's a whole kinetic typography channel on Vimeo.
Oh, great! And she's
we've got
tweeted
the link.
Yeah. Yes.
So if you're on Twitter at the moment listening, you can distract yourself from listening to us by watching some kinetic typography. So I'm trying to think. I can't remember. Was there a daily create, or is there an assignment to do with kinetic typography in DS106? And have we seen good examples done? Because it does seem to be quite a technical challenge in some ways.
Did we do? Let me just. I'm trying to think if when we did our our Headless 13, whether we had something. I remember when I did, and I just used one of the generators, this sort of the EC online generators that there are, because I didn't really know how to use anything else at that point. And I remembered thinking or using it for trying to understand text, if I say a bit about that. So there were some things like when we were starting to read movies, or when we were starting to talk about, you know, are animated GIFs art, and, you know, the different things that people were saying about it. And there were some words that I found very meaningful or that needed reflection in some way. And to me, the kinetic typography helped me focus on the meaning of the words. So I remember using this online generators for a quote, for example, from Alan Levine about what made animated GIFs art. And I remember the quote talked about catching moments and how an animated GIF caught a moment in time, and that in some way was what made it special and made it unique. And I thought, and I did that. And basically what you, I put the quote up on this online generator, and it had music and so on. So then it keeps running. You can keep running it to be able to understand the quote better. I did a similar thing for, we had, this very famous guy who was, when we were doing the week on reading movies, and we were talking about how to read movies. Mm-hmm. And he's dead now, but he was a famous film reviewer, American film reviewer. And he had this one paragraph that, you know, that talked about everything that you ever wanted to know in order to be able to read, you know, a film scene. And I went, my God, there's so much here. You know, in order to understand it, I need to sort of watch it do something. Mm-hmm. And I remember doing the same. I put it in a kinetic typography generator so that I could, you know, create something that would move fast, slow, put some music in there, and then watching it like a film. So, but I mean, you know, I didn't do anything sophisticated because I can't yet do the sophisticated part.
Stuff, yeah. So Rochelle's tweeted a couple other. There's a nice... and the Kinetic Typography channel just pointed some links. And I've also found there is actually a DS-106 assignment, which is Kinetic Typography, but there's not very many people have taken up that one. There is only three people as far as I can see, and one of them is called Not So Kinetic Typography, so I'm guessing that's pointing to some difficulty. And another post is by Alan Levine, who seemed to find it quite tricky as well. So it might be interesting, if you're doing DS-106 at the moment, is to take a dip into that. Now, I'm just thinking, because it's currently The Wire, and one of the interesting things I find about The Wire is that every episode starts with a quote from one of the characters. Mm-hmm. And I know Jim Groom and some of the students have been doing the triple troll quotes with these things, but maybe there's something in the kinetic typography assignment, on the video assignments, that that somebody could take up and try. I might even have a wee shot if I get this week's a kind of busy week for me, but it sounds as if that may be an interesting place to start.
That's a great idea, and I was just thinking, I wonder, so firstly, the kind of looking at the what people have done, so if we put that link up also on the EduTalk, so then people could go and look at that, and then I was wondering about, and that's a nice idea. Yes, I've seen the animated GIFs, because of course they're using a lot of the quotes in the Wire 106, aren't they? They're using a lot of the quotes to put text on the animated GIFs to then talk about, I suppose, the meaning or the significance of the different quotes and the different characters, and I guess that would be an equivalent use. The kinetic typography would be another way of showing, you know, meaning in that way. That's an interesting idea.
Yeah, I mean, they're usually very good quotes as well, that are quite interesting. I haven't got many off the top of my head at the moment, but I did collect a bunch because of only...
It's all in the game!
It's all in the games one, but...
I can tell you, because I've been seeing them go past.
Yeah,
But I think, I haven't, as you know, I haven't watched The Wire, so.
Oh, dear. I've been rewatching it now, and I'm going to have to stop. And Jim's watching at an incredible rate because I've realised I started dreaming in with a Baltimore accent recently. it's not a good thing. I think I'm watching too much at the moment, so I'll probably have a wee pause. But I may have a shot at this kinetic tike holography. And
dude, that would be. I bet you they would love it if you did.
Yeah,
that would be great.
At the start of this week, about last weekend, I did spend a bit of time going round some of the DS106 Wire blogs and leaving a few comments and things, but I haven't really done anything more than that this week. Have you noticed anything interesting or anything that's excited you on the course this week?
Well, this week precisely they have been doing audio, so I did ask. In fact, the bumper that we played, would it have gone on air or would it not have gone?
It probably didn't. What I'll do is I'll just play that now.
Well, go for it.
This one's called Alert.
The following is an emergency alert. A category DS-106 storm is approaching your area. This warning is in effect until further notice. Expect heavy blogging, storytelling, and scattered social media. Please stand by for updates.
Okay, so that was one called Alert. And was that by somebody called Len?
Yes, Len Harris. I was just wanting to make sure that we got the names right because I've got it. Yeah, Len Harris. And he was very sweet because he did. This was one of the first audios that I think the Y106 people did. And he got a lot of compliments from, Jim and other people because it was, it's a really clever thing to how it's structured. So they've been doing audio and not unlike us, I think. When we did it, people have been struggling, and some of the kind of the sort of tweets that you've seen come through were people. One of them, I can't remember who, was saying that working on DS-106 tonight is turning into finding how many ways he can swear at Audacity. And then he tweets back again, going, "No, it wasn't that bad. I think I've conquered it now." I've collected it. We've got one of the other bumpers. We've got a couple of other bumpers that hopefully we'll get a chance to play. But there is one that is, I think, somebody called John Bresselt, right? Yeah. I don't know how I'd pronounce it. And he called it John's knockout bumper. And that one he dedicated to everybody. Who had struggled through the week to try and get the audio sorted and done, which is lovely. It's clearly they've been finding it tough, but learning lots from it. So
is this one John Radio Bumper Final?
Yes, I think that's the one.
I'll just fire that up now. Then I think.
DS-106 Radio.
Okay, that's quite lively, John. So well done on that one.
It's a good one.
So they're working towards audio, and I guess doing the audio projects next week, where they're doing a group broadcast on the radio.
Yes, I imagine so, because I noticed there were lots of tweets with people going, is there anybody who still needs a member for the radio team and so on. So they're forming their audio teams. And the other thing I noticed, and I think this may be DS-106 assignment. I don't remember us doing it. The reversing a song
Oh yeah, I've done that. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I didn't remember that one, but clear they've been getting into that quite a lot, because there were a number of things where they were going, you know, oh, I reversed a song. Guess what it is, you know, and they've been having a lot of fun with that, which is lovely, because, you know, talking from the learning point of view, it's not just about the they're learning how to do audio, but then also they're building community, aren't they?
Mm.
By kind of getting together and collaborating and saying, guess my song, that kind of thing.
So the reverse song, I suppose, is a wee bit like your kinetic typography, if you had the words running backwards across the screen or something like that, I guess.
Yes.
You're trying to read it backwards or read the piece of music backwards.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because that's another way of somehow changing and going to a different space in order to understand the meaning different in some way. Yeah.
So if we're going to do kinetic typography, you mentioned a site. Do you know that? Have you got the URL for that or something? And we can add that to the show notes to let people.
We can do. There are several apps, I think, that do it. Mm-hmm. I haven't looked into that. I knew there was somebody else who. Kevin Hodgson, DocTrax, he was one of the people that helped me out at the beginning, and he did a poem. If he was listening, or if he does, we might ask him, using some particular generator, which I cannot remember now, but he might be able to help us. And then, yes, there are a couple that will just do it. Some of them, of course, the problem is that you can generate, but you cannot necessarily record. So you need to use some other bit of software, like sort of screencasting software,
to
capture it and then edit it, maybe in iMovie.
Mm.
You know, it was quite a laborious process when you don't know what you're doing, because you have to use.
So I think the professional's tool of choice is probably After Effects or something like that. Motion, if you're an Apple person, I guess, is what to use.
And the other thing is TypeMonkey.
Okay, I've not heard that.
And I think that TypeMonkey is a plugin for Photoshop.
Oh, right, okay. So
I think that's what it is. I have gone as far as downloading it, but I've not had a... I cannot really say any more than that. I haven't used it yet.
Yeah. Well, the only thing that I've used to do something similar is of course ScreenFlow, which I'm fairly addicted to as a tool for all sorts of things, because I do a reasonable amount of screencasting in my day job, and it can move text and flip it and change speeds and do pretty much an awful lot of clever things. And
ScreenFlow is the one that has what they call actions, which basically allows you to go from sort of, you mark the beginning, you mark the end, and then it does like a tweening thing with the animation.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I suppose you could do the same in Flash, but
yes,
ScreenFlow, and I just think it's a great wee piece of software for doing all sorts of things like that.
Yeah, and the only issue, of course, and if we're thinking about the students at the university, the only issue with ScreenFlow is that it is a paid software, isn't it? It's not free. Although I think you can get access to it for a little while just to play with it for free.
Yeah, I suspect there's the 30-day trial. I mean, an awful lot of the software that people happen to use for this stuff, like Photoshop itself, is not exactly the cheapest wee bunny in the shop, you know. But the thing about it, there's actually a guy from Australia, an Australian I met, who was a serious motion Final Cut type guy, and we were having to do some sort of moving words about the screen, and I was astonished when he just opened up ScreenFlow, because he said this is much easier, and unless you're wanting, you know, amazing quality or something like that, it's going to be pretty good. So it's one I would sort of recommend.
So that's as far as the technology and the different tools that you can use. But of course, the other element of it, and I think what makes people good at this, is learning about the basics of animation. because, you know, how do you, you know, create the sense of movement, the sense of speed, the sense that something is moving, you know, not so fast or very fast. You kind of need to understand the basics of animation for that. And I was just trying to think. I watched, we can find, I think it's Animating Life, I think was the title of the video on Vimeo. And it's a very, very short thing, which just talks about, I think, 12 principles of animation using only a cube.
Yeah, I think you sent me the link this morning. It's very cute. Yeah, and I think it really shows...
absolutely wonderful. In terms of, you know, what you can do with a letter, that is a great example, I think, because it just has one element and it just shows you all of the things you can do with it. So...
Yeah, I mean, one of the nice things is an awful lot of the tools, like the Wii sort of speed up or slow down at the start and slow down at the end. And I think even... pretty sure ScreenFlow's got a checkbox or something for doing that, and quite a lot of the modern animation tools will do this.
Yeah, so that's about the sort of making it. But if people just want the lazy way and just something quick, the kinetic typography generators online, you know, might do the trick. Particularly if all you're wanting to do is to just maybe animate a quote for the purposes of, you know, like you were saying about using quotes from the Wire, for example.
Yeah, well, I hope somebody takes that up, and I hope we have a look. You pointed me at one more bumper, which is another one by Len. I'm just going to play now because it's interestingly called Len Bumper. So I'm just going to see what that sounds like. Here we go.
You're listening to DS106 Radio. Way down in the hole. Way down in the hole. Way down in the hole. Way down in the hole.
Oh, and that was a voiceover over the top of the introduction to The Wire. That's a really nice intro, I think, to The Wire. And Len, I had assumed that Len was a Lenny or a Leonard, but the voice was definitely sounds like a woman to me. So I don't know if you know the identity of Len.
I don't know. I've just seen Len Harris on Twitter, and I had a short, you know, exchange with him. Her, I assumed him, but maybe not. You know, just saying, could you set the download, you know, the download option for on SoundCloud, so that, you know, we could play the stuff, and that was all, really. So I don't know much more about. You know, about him or her, but it could be. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, and just I think to wrap us up for the week, because we're hitting our point. You'd sent me a couple of links to bits of audio that are on the interweb, and one was Weird Al Yovanovitch, which has failed to download for me, I'm afraid. But the other one was Stephen Fry. Talking image. Do you want to just give us a wee introduction to?
So that was the reference of what I said at the start when we talked about when I was introduced to kinetic typography, and it's called Stephen Fry on Language, I think, and it's a speech that he made about language and about how, you know, how we use language today. It's very funny, it's interesting. Clearly it misses something in the context of just listening to the audio, but of course Stephen Fry is just wonderful to listen to. I would say listen to the audio and then go and find it on YouTube to watch the kinetic typography, because it's so good that Stephen Fry himself apparently saw it and advertised it in, you know, I think on his Twitter channel, and said, you know, what a wonderful thing it was that this guy, Matt Rogers, I think is the name of the animator, this guy had done. So, you know, clearly he was all proud and chuffed, as we say here in England.
Okay.
But that's it's just Stephen Fry being funny about language and how we use it.
Okay, so we'll play it in that, folks. And we shall see you next week to have another episode of 106 Bullets. Good night.
For me, it's a cause of some upset that more Anglophones don't enjoy language. Music is enjoyable, it seems. So are dance and other athletic forms of movement. People seem to be able to find sensual and sensuous pleasure in almost anything but words these days. Words, it seems, belong to other people. Anyone who expresses themselves with originality, delight, and verbal freshness is more likely to be mocked, distrusted, or disliked than welcomed. The free and happy use of words appears to be considered elitist or pretentious. Sadly, desperately sadly, the only people who seem to bother with language in public today bother with it in quite the wrong way. They write letters to broadcasters and newspapers in which they are rude and haughty about other people's usage and in which they show off their own superior knowledge of how language should be. I hate that, and I particularly hate the fact that so many of these pedants assume that I'm on their side. When asked to join in a let's persuade this supermarket chain to get rid of their five items or less sign, I never join in. Yes, I am aware of the technical distinction between less and fewer, and between uninterested and disinterested, and infer and imply, and all the rest of them, but none of these are of importance to me. None of these are of importance, I said there. You'll notice the old pedantic me would have insisted on none of them is of importance. Well, I'm glad to say I've outgrown that silly approach to language. Oscar Wilde, and there have been few greater and more complete lords of language in the past 1,000 years, once included with a manuscript he was delivering to his publishers a compliment slip in which he had scribbled the injunction, "I'll leave you to tidy up the woulds and shoulds, wills and shalls, thats and whiches, etc." Which gives us all encouragement to feel less guilty, don't you think? There are all kinds of pedants around, with more time to read and imitate Lynn Truss and John Humphreys than to write poems, love letters, novels and stories, it seems. They whip out their sharpies and take away and add apostrophes from public signs, shake their heads at prepositions which end sentences, and mutter at split infinitives and misspellings. But do they bubble and froth and slobber and cream with joy at language? Do they ever let the tripping of the tips of their tongues against the tops of their teeth transport them to giddy, euphoric bliss? Do they ever yoke impossible words together for the sound sex of it? Do they use language to seduce, charm, excite, please, affirm, and tickle those they talk to? Do they? I doubt it. They're too farting busy sneering at a greengrocer's less-than-perfect use of the apostrophe. Well, sod them to Hades. They think they're guardians of language. They're no more guardians of language than the Kennel Club is the guardian of dog kind. And the worst of this sorry bunch of semi-educated losers are those who seem to glory in being irritated by nouns becoming verbs. How dense and deft a language development do you have to be, hmm? If you don't like nouns becoming verbs, then for heaven's sake avoid Shakespeare, who made a doing word out of a thing word every chance he got. He tabled the motion and chaired the meeting in which nouns were made verbs. I suppose new examples from our time might take some getting used to. He actioned it that day, for instance, might strike some as a verbing too far. But we've been sanctioning, envisioning, propositioning, and stationing for a long time, so why not actioning? Because it's ugly, whinge the pedants. Well, it's only ugly because it's new and you don't like it. Ugly in the way Picasso, Stravinsky, and Eliot were once thought ugly, and before them Monet, Mahler, and Baudelaire. Pedants will also claim, with what I'm sure is eye-popping insincerity and shameless disingenuousness, that their fight is only for clarity. Well, this is all very well, but there's no doubt what, for example, five items or less means. Just as only adult can't tell from the context and from the age and education of the speaker whether disinterested is used in the proper sense of non-partisan or in the improper sense of uninterested. No, the claim to be defending language for the sake of clarity almost never ever holds water. Nor does the idea that following grammatical rules in language demonstrates clarity of thought and intelligence of mind. Having said this, I admit that if you want to communicate well for the sake of passing an exam or job interview, then it's obvious that wildly original and excessively heterodox language could land you in the soup. I think what offends examiners and employers when confronted with extremely informal, unpunctuated and haywire language is the implication of not caring that underlies it. You slip into a suit for an interview and you dress your language up too. You can wear what you like linguistically or sartorially when you're at home or with friends, but most people accept the need to smarten up under some circumstances. It's only considerate. But that's an issue of fitness, of suitability. It has nothing to do with correctness. There's no right language or wrong language any more than there are right or wrong clothes. Context, convention, and circumstance are all. I can't deny that a small part of me still clings to a ghastly Radio 4 newspaper letter writer pedantry, but I fight against it in much the same way I try to fight against my gluttony, anger, selfishness, and other vices. I must confess, for example, that I find it hard not to wince when someone aspirates the word, and it is a word, H.
Good spell. We're John and Mary on a good spell. It's top and honor and it's everything you wanted to know. Tune into the DS106 radio show. Inter. Lecture conversation, the leaders of the game. They are bright, they are sweet, so go and give them a tweet. The DS106 Good Spell Show.